I go to karaoke a lot. You go to karaoke a lot. Let me ask you this. What do you think the responsibility of a crowd is on a karaoke night?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I guess I can really only speak for myself. I make a point to make sure that I am at least in some way paying attention to everybody who's singing, because I like to sit kind of right up, you know, near where it's all happening. So I don't like ignoring who's singing. I make sure I clap for everybody. I tend to be very enthusiastic. You can't just be sitting there waiting for your next turn. You have to give other people the attention too.
Hello, and welcome back to The Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly, the podcast that takes karaoke exactly as seriously as it should be taken. I am your completely normal karaoke host, Adam Wainwright.
I'm the wacky one. I'm Ed Kennard.
You are the wacky one, Ed. People always say that. When I hear about the first impression of Ed Kennard, I hear, it's one wacky dude.
I get that sometimes.
Do you really? I don't believe.
No, very, very rarely.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay, before we get started to, I guess, just chat about something I need to lament about, because I need to lament and use this platform I have to talk about what's on my mind. Is there any kind of business we want to get out of the way right up top?
We are going to do our annual advice show, and it's going to be a little different this time. We'll still obviously take the Twitter DMs and the emails, so you can DM us at sungpoorly on Twitter, email us at sungpoorly@gmail.com. But we also signed up for Pod Inbox. This way you can leave us a voice message if you'd like, and we can air that audio in the show and address it with your voice and then our voices.
Wow, we're just going to make some people famous, Ed, aren't we? Is that what we're going for?
When you look at sungpoorly.com in the bottom right corner, you will see a little red button that will take you right to that Pod Inbox link.
That's awesome. Everybody should go out there and do that just so we can hear your sweet, beautiful voices next to our sweet, beautiful voices and realize just how sweet and beautiful our voices actually are.
Indeed. But Adam, it sounds like you want to talk about something that's not sweet and beautiful.
No, I don't. Ed, can we talk about music rounds at trivia, please? At trivia nights. Can we talk about this? Okay, great. So I went to trivia the other night. We did pretty well. All things considered, there were 22 teams. We finished third and we didn't get a prize, but that's beside the point. That's a completely different bullshit type thing I want to talk about at some point. But music rounds at trivia, specifically in New York City, are fucking infuriating.
Why is that?
Because they don't have any theme. There's no rhyme or reason to them. Like, the host literally just picks the most obscure shit they can from every decade across the board, and you're expected to get it. There was a song they played last night with 22 teams in attendance that nobody got the artist. Nobody. Because they had everything from like Melanie Martinez to The Offspring. Nobody's knowledge expands across all of music in every genre. What kind of horseshit is that? If you're going to do every round as a different theme, because every round had a different theme, and that's typically how they work it. Music is not a theme. Music is an avenue for asking questions, but it's not a theme. The theme should be, I don't know, grunge, 2020s, or, you know, like an era, a decade, a musician where you have to name the song or something along those lines. To just randomly pull songs from every era and every genre is fucking nonsense. It doesn't test anybody's knowledge. Ed, do you agree with that? Or do you like the way it's being structured that way?
I actually prefer the way that you hate, because that way you're hitting a wider variety of what people may or may not know. But what I'm really curious about is, what's the one that no one got?
I can't remember. The name was so buck wild that I can't remember who it was. I'm going to have to go back. And it was something maybe Walker, like Skywalker or something like that. I feel like when you're doing something like that, you ostracize a certain contingent of people that are going to trivia. Because let's face it, a lot of middle-aged people like you and I are going to trivia. Like, that's who the trivia crowd typically ends up being. Listen, I try to keep up with some modern music, but I just don't listen to it like I used to. So when you play five songs that have been released in the past 2 years, no matter how well I do at the rest of trivia, it doesn't fucking matter. And we're always on a smaller team. I feel like if you had a bigger team, like, this works in your advantage, but I'm always on teams of like two or three or four or something like that, competing against teams of six. Like, I don't know. I just need to get that off my chest and lament about it a little bit, because we would have won if it weren't for that music trivia round again last night.
Let me ask you a question. Are you playing Hurdle every day?
I'm playing Hurdle most days, yes.
Nothing has been more sobering to me than realizing that there is a cutoff year for when I will get it right in 1 second and where I will not get it right at all. And I have never felt older than I have playing Hurdle.
Hurdle, yeah. But I don't want to waste any more time. Ed, I want to jump right into our karaoke trivia bullpen right now.
I feel like that's logical right after you talking about trivia.
I feel like it is. I want to show you how a good music trivia round could go down. So we're going to say the theme of this week is Weird Al. So that's going to be the challenge we're throwing out there. Here's what you're going to get. You're going to get 10 trivia questions based on the episode's topic with varying degrees of difficulty. Each question is worth a half a point. So the top score for any round is 5 points. If you get stuck, you can ask for one hint per game. If you get all the questions wrong, you can still win by answering the impossible question. Get that one right and you get all 5 points. But remember, even if you save your hint, there are no hints for the impossible bonus. So here's how this week's trivia is going to work, Ed. Actually, let me hit you with the stinger first.
My Bologna, bum, 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 just so I have a placeholder for editing. My Bologna.
That is now my stinger, Ed. I'm not recording anything. We're using that. I tricked you into it. I'm sticking by it. So here's how it's going to work this weekend. I feel like we've ended up talking a lot during trivia. Okay. Like, it's great. I've enjoyed the facts. I've enjoyed learning. But sometimes I just want to get to the heart of the thing. So we're going to be talking to somebody who adores Weird Al, is one of Weird Al's biggest fans. So it's only natural we do some Weird Al trivia. He is very famous for his parodies. So what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a Weird Al song that is a parody of a popular song. And you need to name the song and the artist that he's parodying. For example, and this isn't one of the questions. This is my example to you. I give you the name Like a Surgeon.
Like a Virgin Madonna. Why was that not one of them?
Because it's too easy. And no, it's not. Okay. So how many points do you think you're going to get here? So each one's going to be worth a half a point. And I will say that I put every effort into scaling the difficulty so it starts easy and gets tougher as it goes along.
Let me just ask one question.
Sure.
So I need to get both the song and the artist right to get a half a point.
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to get 2 or 3 points.
I think that's reasonable. And I'm going to say, depending on your level of Weird Al fandom, you might actually even get the impossible question right today.
It really depends on what time frame you're pulling from.
Oh, you don't think I thought about that for the impossible question? There's a very specific rhyme and reason to the way the impossible question unfolds. But we're not there yet. Let's get started with this trivia. Ed, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, question number one. Party in the CIA.
Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus.
Great job, Ed. That's a half a point. Question number two, Eat It.
Beat It, Michael Jackson.
Correct. Question number three, Amish Paradise.
Gangster's Paradise, Coolio.
Correct. Question number four, Gump.
Lump, Presidents of the United States.
Correct. Question number five, The Saga Begins.
American Pie, Don McLean.
True. Question number six, Grapefruit Diet.
No fucking idea.
Zoot Suit Riot by the Cherry Pop and Daddies. Grapefruit Diet. Question number seven, Couch Potato.
No idea.
Lose Yourself, Eminem. Number eight, Ode to a Superhero.
No idea.
Sling us a web, you're the Spider-Man. Sling us a web tonight, cause we're all in the mood for a hero now. And we think that you'll do all right. Does that give you an idea of what that song would be? Okay, great. Yeah. I'm glad we got there, Ed. Question number nine, Jerry Springer.
Nope.
1 Week by the Bare Naked Ladies. And question number 10. Remember, you still have a hint. The question number 10 is eBay.
I'll take the hint.
It is a 90s boy band.
I wanted That Way, Backstreet Boys.
There it is. All right. Good job, Ed. You've got three. You got three full points there.
Yes.
So you got 6 out of 10, 3 points. That's a good performance, I'd say. So let's dive into the impossible question. There is a little bit of exposition to the impossible question.
There always is.
There always is. So Weird Al is known for several things, but perhaps the two most popular are his parodies and his polkas. Since the first one was released in 1984, Mr. Al has released 13 polkas total, including the Hamilton Polka, which was strangely not counted on WeirdAl.com, with names such as Hooked on Polkas, Polka Party, Hot Rocks Polka, Polka Your Eyes Out, Bohemian Polka, The Alternative Polka, Polka Power, Angry White Boy Polka, Polka-rama, Polka Face, and Now That's What I Call Polka. Now, for all the Al fans counting along, you may have noticed I skipped the very first one released in 1984. Well, that's because for the impossible question today, I'm asking you, Ed, to name that polka and give me five songs that were included in the medley.
I know that I know this. I know that I know this. This is my era of Weird Al.
1984 is your era of Weird Al.
Yes. I mean, I listened to Weird Al a lot from when I was five, so 1984, to when I was 13, so do the math. But Adam, I'm going to tap it. I was hoping you were like ask me how many songs or what, and I was going to come up with a bullshit number. I'd be like, oh, yeah, 157. But like, no, I don't, no, I don't have it. I'm tapping out.
Okay. The name of the very first polka released in 1984 was Polkas on 45. The songs that were included in this polka medley were Jocko Homo by Devo, Smoke on the Water by Deep Purple, Sex Ima by Berlin, Hey Jude by the Beatles, L.A. Woman by the Doors, Inagata Da Vida by Iron Butterfly.
Inagata Da Vida.
There we go. Hey Joe by Jimi Hendrix, Burning Down the House by the Talking Heads, Hot Blooded by Foreigner, Bubbles in the Wine by Lawrence Welk, Every Breath You Take by The Police, Should I Stay or Should I Go, The Clash, Jumpin' Jack Flash, The Rolling Stones, and My Generation by The Who.
The fucked up thing is that is the one that I probably know the best of all the polkas, and I still didn't get it.
No, you did not get it, and the opportunity was there. You got 3 out of 5, so I feel like that was a win today. You did great today.
Thanks, man.
Proud of you, Ed. You did so good.
I bet our guest would have gotten that.
Oh, 100%. If our guest was doing the Weird Al trivia, I would have made this so much harder than I did. I feel like I created a cakewalk for a guest that's a big Weird Al fan. But for you, I figured it was going to be an appropriate level of challenging.
And it was. Thank you.
It's what I'm here for, Ed. It's when it's my turn, it's what I'm here for.
You are a good, if not weird, partner.
It's true. You are a good, if not weird, partner. Which brings us to today's main segment. And what we're calling that we thought of well before we recorded this episode, let me tell you, this has been planned for a long time. This particular title, Get Weird With It. So I feel like if we're going to say Get Weird With It as our main segment this week, let's start by just defining weird. Ed, what would you consider weird?
I would say weird is anything outside of what is the normative standard. And that's going to depend on your community and where you are and where you're located and what your culture is. Every culture has norms and social mores and things that are considered normal and things that are considered weird. Anything that is inside that circle is normal. Anything outside that circle gets weirder the further it gets from that circle.
Yeah, I think that's a fair definition of it. For you in particular, Ed, what would you consider weird? I know you enough to know that your acceptance level of everybody's own shit is very, very wide, and like it'd be really tough for something to be considered weird in your eyes. But do you have anything that sticks out in your head as something that's just weird? It doesn't have to be related to karaoke.
I really wish I did. I mean, the closest thing for me is, and I'm sorry for anyone who listens to this who falls into this category, and I know a lot of the people in this category are really good people, but furries are weird to me. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I wish I did. I've met some furries who are wonderful people. That is that's my weird. I can't imagine having a fursona and being more comfortable being a Saint Bernard.
That's a tough one for me to wrap my head around too. But I think what I ended up falling into with my definition of weird is I use the term, like, I think people are sociopaths when they do certain things. And I think that's because the actions they're taking are weird and I don't quite understand them. So I just immediately assume they're out to kill someone. For example, the biggest one I've gotten since living in New York City is people that stand on escalators when they're not carrying a bag. the escalator's moving and they decide, I'm just going to have this like an amusement park ride, and they will stand on the escalator. Even if it's a single one where people need to move and other people want to get from point A to point B, there is a really bad one at 34th Street in New York City, like a really bad one. If you're taking the R or the N train, you're coming way up top. Like it's a single escalator, and if you get behind one person the size, I'm on vacation, I just want to take a ride, like everything else comes to a halt.
In that same range, people who still write physical checks while checking out in a store.
Ooh, yeah, that's another good one. That's another good weird. So my sociopath thing like bridges a little bit between weird to things that just frustrate me and like pet peeves. So we're not going to dive into what I think about people who play their music in public without headphones when you're trapped in a small space like a subway.
Oh, see, I like that.
I hate that. Oh my God. I think it's the most obnoxious thing a human being can do.
I don't think of obnoxious as weird or off-putting.
I think it's weird when people stand on escalators. I'm going to try to rein this back in. Let's narrow this now. We've set our individual definitions of something that's weird, so everybody that's listening has a better idea of it. What's your thoughts on getting weird, with air quotes, at karaoke?
I feel like karaoke is fundamentally weird. You and I have certainly gotten weird from time to time, but karaoke is a place where I think weird should be accepted.
We've done weird things at karaoke too. Can you just elaborate on something weird maybe you've seen at karaoke that you think is just perfect? It was perfect for the environment the karaoke creates.
In a good way, I think the weird that karaoke creates is, if you think about it, we've made friends with people we otherwise would not be friends with in any way, shape, or form because of a variety of reasons. Like, we don't fit in the same class, the same belief system, the same social structure. But we now have really close friends who we otherwise would not be friends with because we have this shared love of this weird, kitschy thing. That's the good weird of karaoke, I think.
I don't know if it's weird, though. I don't know if that's a weird thing about karaoke. I feel like that's just tying into Maslow's hierarchy of needs, where you need to seek a community. By saying that's weird, that would be like saying that cheering for a sports team is weird, or finding a community in church is weird, or, you know, like, people go to certain things and social events like this so they can find people that have a kinship with it. I think that's one of the most natural things a person can do, honestly, is try to find kinship through something like this.
Well, then I will say the weirdest thing that I've ever seen at karaoke was a guy who brought his pet sugar glider to the bar. So I got to meet a sugar glider in a bar while singing karaoke. And that was one of the best nights ever because it was a sugar glider and it was so cute.
See, that's what I was digging for, just a little bit right there. That's much more in line with what I was looking for.
What about you?
I don't know what sticks out to me. I guess it's sometimes I consider it weird the exceptions that are sometimes made on karaoke nights in bars, like kids being allowed in there so they can sing. I consider that weird, seeing a child in a bar because it's karaoke night and that's a family affair. Like, this is like an environment that's been created.
I have certainly been there.
So we've established that it's okay to get weird at karaoke. To a certain extent, get weird at karaoke. Is there such thing as a bridge too far? As long as it's in good taste. We're not talking about, like, I think, you know, you can take things too far by, you know, using certain language and misogyny and racism, yada, yada, yada. Like, all those things take it too far. But as far as getting weird with something, do you think you can take it too far when do karaoke? Or is it something that's like, as long as it's in good taste, there isn't a cap?
The one thing to consider is, why are you doing karaoke? Are you making noises into a microphone to get clapping back? If so, certain song choices, certain things might not deliver that for you because they might be too weird. You might not get away with doing songs from the 30s if everyone in the bar is less than 30. At the same time, you might not get away with doing something that just came out in the past year if everyone in the bar is 60 plus, and that might be weird for that crowd. But I guess my thing is, like, the only weird at karaoke that makes me uncomfortable is when it's creepy.
But creepiness is subjective to a certain extent too, Ed.
To some extent, but there are ways that particularly guys can be creepy at karaoke.
Yeah.
When we talked to Honey Leave It, she talked about dating in karaoke. You could be very creepy if you're using karaoke to hit on someone. And I mean, it's a fine line to walk, but that's a place where it might get creepy. If you sing something of a highly sexual charged nature to somebody that you've never met before and just never break eye contact.
Yeah.
But that might be part of your not in good taste thing. What about you, Adam? Like, where do you see a point where it's weird?
I think creepy and weird sometimes intersect. And I think, yeah, in that case, it's weird. It's just weird. I think if it's in good taste, see, I can't say that. I can't say that because my mind, Ed, my big imaginary brain that likes to go to like the oddest possible thing. Like, what's some weird shit that you could do at karaoke? What is it, Adam? Like, if I saw someone go up there, like, and put on any song, like, let's just say, you know, Celine Dion, My Heart Will Go On or something like that, and then just start barking like a dog. Like, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
Yeah, that would be weird. You are correct. That didn't even cross my mind.
It's not even a bad taste, you know? It's not bad taste per se, but that would be, I can imagine the energy would be palpable in that room of how weird everybody would feel, how uncomfortable everybody would feel with how weird it is. So I think there is such a thing as a bridge too far. And I think it's when you're, I would dare say, is if it's you are going completely, just completely against the social norms, like in the room and for that song. I think you can go against the social norms in a room if the song ties into it. But if you're going against the social norms of the song and also the social norms of the room, that's when it's a bridge too far. One or the other, great. Both, too much.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Here's a question for you. Have you done Weird Al at karaoke? Because we know our guest has.
Oh, yeah, I've done Weird Al at karaoke. I know I've sung Amish Paradise before. I really do love me some Amish Paradise. I'm pretty sure I've tried The Saga Begins at karaoke. Weird Al ties in very... Listen, Weird Al is a great choice for karaoke. An amazing choice for karaoke. Would you agree, Ed?
I would. I think I have done Amish Paradise. I want to say that I've done some of his older stuff. I want to say I might have done I Lost on Jeopardy at one point.
Ooh.
I feel like that's one I have done, if that exists for karaoke. I'm not sure, but I something in that era, but I think I've done something from that 80s Weird Al and not like more recent stuff.
Yeah, but I think Weird Al is just a perfect taste for karaoke. It's fun. It's something different. It's normally, I can't think of one Weird Al song that's a complete downer either. So, I mean, I think it ties into a fun karaoke night. So, Ed, I'm going to put you in a scenario right now, okay? I want you to go along with me on this visual journey I'm about to paint for you. You roll up to the karaoke spot. It's Saturday night. Right around 11:30, everybody has a couple of drinks in them. The rotation's a little bit longer. And the energy is just off the wall. It's great singer followed by fun singer followed by great singer followed by a person who's just having a fucking great time. The entire crowd is into every performance. It's the perfect culmination of everything can be going on. And like people are even singing sad songs in there too, but they're singing them so well that everybody's just like, whoa, yeah. And like they're totally into it even if people are singing sad songs. It's that kind of karaoke night. So with all that being said, it's now your turn to go up there. What's the weirdest possible choice that you could make?
I feel like at that point, the weirdest possible choice you can make is the Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald by Gordon Lightfoot.
Wow. That might go over a certain crowd.
It might, yeah.
That might actually. That might go over. I think the weirdest choice you could make at that point would be to pop out some like really obscure, we'll say like Peter, Paul, and Mary type thing at that point. Because I think even if you sing Peter, Paul, and Mary great in a night like that, you're going to destroy the mood. I can't think of one Peter, Paul, and Mary song where I would be like, people would be like, so keep it. And no matter how, like, it doesn't matter how well you sing. I'm going Peter, Paul, and Mary.
I can see that. I can see if I had a hammer, their version of that, like, just absolutely destroying the mood.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. Leave it on a jet plane. You might get a sing-along at least with Leave It on a Jet Plane, but like I can't think of one Peter, Paul, and Mary song. Cause like no matter how, yeah, I can't think of it. So we're going there. This is the last question. We're gonna wrap up the main segment. We're gonna talk to somebody who was just a joy to talk to, that knows more about Weird Al than I know about life, and has just a great karaoke story to go along with it.
And someone who I am going to sing karaoke with very soon.
That's going to be amazing. And I can't wait to hear about it. But I have a question that we need to discuss to wrap up this segment. We've talked a little bit about a weird everything, Weird Al, weird at karaoke, highs, lows, weirdest possible choice you can make. What is weird? So I have a proposition, and I think this falls into place, is I don't know, as much as I love people getting weird and weird choices, I don't know if the best possible thing that can happen and the weirdest possible thing can happen at the same time. I think there's an uncanny valley there where they could both exist and be great, but I don't know if they can happen at the same time. Do you agree with my theory, Ed, about my uncanny valley between weirdness and greatness at karaoke, or do you believe they can be synonymous?
I believe they can be synonymous, and I believe I have told the story before on this podcast, so if I have and you've heard it, I apologize. But there was a night where a strange little guy asked every single female presenting person in the bar to sing Paradise by the Dashboard Lights with him. And every single female presenting person said no. So what does he do? He sings it anyway. And instead of singing both parts, when the female vocal happened, he just looked sadly down at his shoes. But he committed to it. And it was unbelievably odd. It was weird. And it was the best possible thing I could have seen that night. All 10 minutes or whatever of that song. Anytime it should have been a woman singing, nothing on the mic. And by the end of it, everybody clapped. It was fantastic and odd and strange. And I hope that dude, wherever he is now, is in a happy place, because that is a story that gives me so much joy.
You've definitely never told that in this podcast before. And you are absolutely right. My theory is completely just blown up with that one story. That is literally the best possible outcome and thing that could happen with what was transpiring leading into it. And just would be the highlight of any night. Easy, easy, like easy, easy, easy.
You know what the best possible thing that could happen right now is?
Why don't you tell me?
It's us cueing the fucking guitar and getting into Weird Al and karaoke with our guest.
Today's guest has a karaoke backstory that goes back longer than most and goes deeper too. She even wrote her MFA thesis about her local karaoke scene. Currently, she and her brother host the Beard Owl podcast, a comedy podcast devoted to Weird Al Yankovic and beer. Two things we both highly approve of. Lauren Carey, welcome to The Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Oh, stop. We're just really excited to have you today. come on, Weird Al and beer. How could we not be excited to have you?
I mean, as we say on my show, they are two of the greatest things in the world. So I'm more than happy to talk about them as much as I possibly can. And I was going to say consume them both, but I really only consume the beer. I consume Al's catalog of work, his body of work, but they're two of my favorite things. I'm staring at a Weird Al poster on my wall and I'm drinking a beer right now. Like life doesn't get any better.
Out of a Greatest Song Ever Sung Poorly pint glass too, which is just so fantastic to see.
I mean,
it's true.
Like worlds are coming together, like cats and dogs. Like it's beautiful. I love it. So before we get started, I need to know a little bit about your karaoke background. You started singing karaoke in bars before you were able to drink is what got back to me.
That is true. That is true. When I was in college, the local Applebee's did karaoke every Wednesday. And so probably from my freshman year of college on, I was going to karaoke every single Wednesday to what, you know, karaoke DJ knew me. He would sing duets with me that nobody else would. And I just never really stopped doing karaoke. And then once I could finally do karaoke at places other than Applebee's, I, you know, started branching out and having a good time, met some people through karaoke and just kept on doing karaoke, you know. My last name being Carrie lends itself really well to the nickname Lauren Karaoke. So it's great. Through different phases of my life, I've had different regular karaoke spots, right? And so I just recently found a great place here. It's like right off the beach in Jacksonville, and they have really good burgers, and it's like a nice open air establishment, and it's a bar. But it's family friendly. So like you'll get kids that are singing. And then the next thing you know, there's going to be like this, you know, drunk person coming up doing their own thing. And then you have like some really, you know, really good singers like in the mix. So it's It's a lot of fun. And I haven't taken anybody to karaoke there that hasn't walked away like, this is the most magical place that I've ever sung karaoke. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's great.
I love bars like that. That's just like the best feeling. But as a former English grad student myself, this MFA thesis, what was it and how did karaoke play into it? Because I'm very curious.
Oh, yeah. So my MFA thesis, my MFA in creative writing was creative nonfiction because I'm good with words, but I'm not good at making things up. I can tell a good story. I can't make up a good story. So this was at the point where I was in like a weird karaoke transition period from one place to another because there was like drama at one place and then, you know, going to this other. Their karaoke drama is a real thing that people don't know exists, right?
Oh,
it's
it is.
Very real. It's very real.
It is.
Oh, I certainly know.
Yep, so, we all know.
Yeah. So I basically wrote my MFA thesis just kind of about, it was like all little vignettes about just like drama that was happening in this karaoke scene. And then I took some liberties kind of doing karaoke character case studies, you know, so you, cause you know, you've got the guy that, you know, always sings AC/DC and then you've got the guy that always does this. And then, you know, they get mad if somebody else decides to do Thunderstruck and you're like, oh, this is going to be a problem today.
I want to read your thesis so badly now. Like you've just, I don't know if you were intentionally selling it or not, but I definitely want to read and just take this in because this is like, yes, this is exactly, Ed, I know you want to read it. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm dying to. I think Lauren told me though that you don't know where your thesis is anymore, do you?
I found it when I was moving. Well, it's one of those things. I will tell you, like, if you've ever, you know, years after you've been in middle school, stumbled upon like an old middle school journal and you go, oh, dear. I kind of had that moment when I started looking through it. I said, oh, dear. Like, there's some funny little nuggets in there, but I'm really glad that I never shopped this thing around. It got me my degree, so I get to teach. But it's like, yeah, I can pick and choose and share little, you know, passages from it with the world. But like the whole thing will never see human eyes again.
No, that's completely fair.
I have certainly been there.
Yes. Yeah. It's like a lot of the work I'm doing right now. I'm like, look back and I'm like, ooh, okay, sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But okay. So speaking of things that have seen human eyes and need human eyes to experience, you've done quite a few karaoke contests. Have you won any? What's your strategy when you go into them?
You know, I have not won a karaoke contest, and I'm glad I no longer do karaoke competitions because it's one of those things that in hindsight takes the fun out of it because it puts stress into karaoke that doesn't really, that really shouldn't be there. I firmly believe that karaoke is the kind of thing that should just be fun. And for it to be a contest, you know, I remember I would get stressed out and then I'd leave the place mad because I didn't get, you know, they had this thing like these golden tickets and I didn't get a golden ticket to like be like move on to the next round the next week. And I was like, why, you know, I did. So strategy, like, no, because I also don't like putting strategy onto karaoke. I like to sing what I want to sing that I think is going to resonate with the crowd.
Yes.
So to do a karaoke contest, it's like, you know, they had these three judges and they were all like local radio personalities, and like you can't really pinpoint that either because one was from the country station, one was from the classic rock station, and one was from the pop station. You're like, well, they're like, you can't please all of these people. And just full disclosure, the person who ended up winning this karaoke contest 2 years in a row, musical theater major, so she did like Streisand, and I'm like, okay, like fine, like she did a great job with it and everything, but at the same time, I don't go to karaoke to see musical theater. I go to karaoke for karaoke.
Yeah, I feel that to like kind of my core as a musical theater enthusiast. Like, I like doing some musical theater at karaoke, but like really winning a contest and Barbra Streisand, really, Ed, would you vote for that person?
Probably not. I mean, in all fairness, every time I've been dragged into a karaoke contest because I just wanted to sing that night and the contest was taking everything up, I would do something like Punk Rock Girl by the Dead Milkmen to kind of argue against.
I would sing Billy Joel.
I love singing Billy Joel.
Mm-hmm.
I love singing Billy Joel.
Oh my God. Billy Joel's like one of the artists that like, he's right up there with the Beatles where every time I get tricked into singing Billy Joel, like I'm like, oh yeah, I can sing Billy Joel, no problem. I'm a karaoke like expert at this point. And then I start singing Billy Joel. I'm like, oh no, I can't sing Billy Joel. It's okay.
Billy Joel is actually my most obnoxious karaoke story, which I feel bad interrupting the interview to say it. But we were daring each other on one night at karaoke a few years ago, and some kids put me in for We Didn't Start the Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I turned around from the screen and I stared at these kids and delivered every verse and then gave them a history lesson while the background singers were doing the We Didn't Start the Fire part. I'm like, let me explicate this for you.
That's because beautiful.
You guys, you know, you don't know who Roy Cohn is. Like, and I'm just like, and they're like, we don't want to play this game anymore.
That's so great.
They were like, old man, get away from me.
Right.
Like, get off my lawn.
Exactly.
Get off my lawn.
I get that reaction a lot. I mean, especially at karaoke. I go to karaoke a lot. You go to karaoke a lot. Let me ask you this. What do you think the responsibility of a crowd is on a karaoke night?
Oh, that's a really good question. And I guess I can really only speak from, like, for myself. I make a point to make sure that I am at least in some way paying attention to everybody who's singing, because I like to sit kind of right up, you know, near where it's all happening. So I don't like ignoring who's singing. I make sure I clap for everybody. And, you know, I try and get in. I mean, it's not difficult for me to be enthused. So I tend to be very enthusiastic, like no matter who's singing. The place that I go to regularly, there's a woman, and I think it's her sister, or like it's, I think maybe she's her caretaker, but might as well be her sister. But there's a woman with Down syndrome who loves singing karaoke. And I see her there every week, and like she'll do like Seal, Kiss from a Rose. And like you just gotta, the karaoke DJ is great because he plays the vocal real light behind her. So like, you know, you can hear what's going on and stuff. Mm-hmm. But like I always get into it when she's singing. And then this past Friday, I'm sitting there at the bar. She walked in, she ran to me and gave me a hug. And I'm like, oh, and literally all I do is watch her, and like I clap, and like I'm, you know, I give her a high five on her way back to her seat when she's done. I do that for anybody. But yeah, I think you have to make sure that you're, when you are a singer sitting in the audience at karaoke, you can't make it just about you. You can't just be sitting there waiting for your next turn. You have to give other people the attention too. Even though you're waiting, you're like, gosh, you know, when am I going to get to sing again? Like, pay attention to everybody, and because it's their moment, you know?
I love that. Yeah, we all get our 3 minutes or so on stage, and that should all be valid and appreciated. Something else that I appreciate, you make us look bad, Lauren. You post more karaoke content on Twitter than we do, and we love you forever for that. What brings you back weekly and inspires you to share your performances?
Well, I started sharing it by accident, you know. Well, I shared it on purpose, but it became a thing that I regularly do by accident because, you know, one week I was just like, oh, you know what? I just, you know, I went by myself, so I didn't really have anybody to say like, oh, are you doing a good job? So I was like, you know what? I have like thousands of people that follow me on Twitter. I'm going to get a little bit of personal validation here and just share some karaoke clips and do it. And then one week, like I didn't go to karaoke and I didn't post anything. And I got 4 DMs on Twitter. Where's the karaoke videos this week? And I'm like, oh, okay. So this is a thing that people now want. All right, fine. So I guess I'll do it. And so what has been really interesting about doing that for me, especially, you know, putting it out on Twitter as I do, is it's gotten me out of my karaoke rut. Cause I have, you know, my go-tos that I like to do, but since I'm sharing things, I'm like, I can't just keep doing the same things over and over and over again, because then I won't have anything to share. So like over the past couple of months, I've done songs at karaoke for the first time more than like any other stretch in my life. And it's been a lot of fun just because I was like, well, got to give the people something new. So I'm going to keep doing it. It's been great.
Yes. Yes. Keep doing it, please. Like, I love that. I love when you can expand your boundaries and explore something new. And I, especially in our karaoke history, have now really, in the past, I say, what, like 2 or 3 years, Ed, have really started exploring that particular thing.
I mean, for me, it's been a lot longer because I just get bored doing the same things over and over again. So I make a point to do at least 1 new song a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's, well, our wheel really helps us explore and just pull from the crowd. But speaking of this, okay, I'm sure Ed's going to introduce everybody to all of these things, and we'll continue to, and I will too. But it seems like that many of us in this podcasting world that we inhabit are into karaoke. Why? Why do you think that is?
Oh, it's because we all love hearing our own voices in one way or another.
You're not wrong.
I mean, like, that's basically what it is. I mean, it's like, you know, in the Venn diagram of things, you have podcasters and you have people that like karaoke, and like, it's a circle, you know, like that's pretty much how it goes. And I don't know that I would have started a podcast if I didn't like karaoke, or like there's some people that is vice versa, because I just got really comfortable, A, being in a microphone, you know, B, like doing something for an audience and just kind of being sure of myself while doing it, you know, because it's weird, right, to have a conversation like this with, like, you know, yes, I've interacted with you guys, right, but we've never talked. And mm-hmm. So now we're sitting here having this conversation, and like, where does that kind of confidence come from? Well, gee, it comes from standing in a bar with a microphone in your face singing a song you've never sung before.
In my case, sometimes a song you've never heard before, which is my favorite trick. But speaking of weird, how's that for a transition?
Good.
Oh, wow.
Weird Al.
Yes.
How did that love grow?
Well, let's see. It was the summer of 1996, and Weird Al dropped the masterpiece, Bad Hair Day. And my brother and I, you know, we were six. I was like 12, 11 or 12. And we spent the entire summer blasting that album on a big black boombox out in the pool. And our neighbors must have hated us because it was Weird Al ad nauseum for like 3 months. And we just became obsessed. And then we started filling in the back catalog up to that point and just fell in love with him. And it's something that Weird Al I have always loved. But then, you know, you get into high school and you're like, oh, I'm not going to wear my Weird Al t-shirt to high school because I'm already in the marching band. Like, I don't need another check mark against me, you know? So I hid it for a while. And then I hit a certain point and I was like, why am I hiding this? He's like the most awesome person that there is. He's so kind and he's so smart and he's so funny and he's so talented. Like, there is no shame in the Weird Al game. So at some point between like college and grad school, I was like, you know, I'm just going to let this weird flag fly. And when my brother kind of caught up to me in that regard, we realized like, okay, like this is something that he and I can always bond over. Like, even if we have, you know, differences in one way or another, like we can always circle back to Weird Al and we can always circle back to beer. So we said, hey, let's just talk about those two things because why not? And it's led to some really fun and amazing conversations. And it also led me to meet some really amazing people. The podcasting community is great, but, and this is not a knock on the podcasting community, but the Weird Al community, you can't beat Weird Al people. Like, you just can't. There is no better group of people in the world. And here's a little anecdote to that. On the episode of my show that came out as of us recording this, it was just this past two Fridays ago, where I was talking about Weird Al and the blues. And I offhandedly said two things. One, that I want a full version of Let Me Be Your Hog, which is like a 10-second long song on the UHF soundtrack. And two, I said that I would love for somebody to do a cover album of Weird Al music in the style of the blues, like non-blues songs in the style of the blues. 2 days after that episode drops, I get a message from one of my listeners who sat down and recorded a full version of Let Me Be Your Hug, like a 2-minute long version of this song. And I was like, holy crap. And then a couple of days after that, another one of my listeners who, you know, she's a musician, she did a Weird Al cover album, but not in the style of the blues. She sends me a blues cover of Why Does This Always Happen to Me? Just like no context. She's just like, here's an MP3. And I'm like, where? I asked for two things offhandedly and the Weird Al people came through. I'm like, what other group of people is going to listen to a podcast, be like, you know, Lauren asked for this. Like, I'm going to try it. I'm going to send it to her. Like, didn't want anything from me. Didn't want me to share it. Didn't like post any of it publicly. They were just like, Lauren wants this. Lauren kind of needs this. I'm going to do it.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It really, God.
I know, right? See, Weird Al's the best.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
I've cried about Weird Al more often than I think probably the average person, because it's like, no, there's so much good here.
I feel like I need to dive deeper into this community now. Like, you are inspiring me to dive deeper. Cause like, okay, honestly, actually, weirdly, did it again. Weirdly, actually, my last memory of Weird Al, other than a trivia question I asked Ed, is tied to the podcast, like a podcast. So one of my favorite podcasts, I don't know if I've talked about this in the show before, is My Brother and Me. And on their short-lived TV show, during one of their final episodes of this TV show, they actually had Weird Al on. He was their special guest for their Candle Nights episode. It's episode 6 of the My Brother and Me TV show. And they went and got Weird Al to come and make an appearance on this show as part of it. So it's weird that it's kind of tied to the podcasting community. But I love this. I want to dive in deeper. And I need to know. Okay, I need to know two things. Let's be serious, Lauren. Look at me, okay?
Okay.
Right here in the podcasting space, look at me. The audience can feel us looking at each other intently.
Oh, yeah.
Two questions. How many Weird Al t-shirts do you own?
Oh, crap.
And number two, how many times have you seen Weird Al live?
Okay, as far as the t-shirts go, at least 50?
So a reasonable number.
Yeah, like a reasonable number of Weird Al. Like a normal number of Weird Al t-shirts. No, but okay, sidebar to that, I'm probably the only person in the entire world that when like folding my laundry and like if I have, you know, a bunch of t-shirts, I'm probably the only person in the world that has a Weird Al pile and a non-Weird Al pile. I have to keep them organized.
That's wonderful. I love that. I love that so like, much.
There's my Weird Al pile. Here's my non-Weird Al pile.
I love that.
And as for how many times I've seen him, as of this recording, it's 10. But before this year is over, it will be 12. I'm flying from Florida to Pennsylvania in mid-May to see Weird Al with my brother and my parents, and we got the VIP package, so we're going to get to meet him together and all that stuff. And then he's coming to just outside Jacksonville in October, and I'm going with some of my buddies. So we're going to, we also got the VIP package. So point to that, I was the trigger person for the tickets here from my friends, and they're like, oh, well, we'll pay you back. And so we all got the VIP tickets, so I got bought 4 of those. And then my dad couldn't figure, sorry, Dad, my dad couldn't figure out the pre-sale code situation for the venue in Pennsylvania. So he calls me like all frantic. He's like, I got to get these tickets today. I got to get them today. And I'm like, Dad, like, I'll do it. Just like, give me the information so that like, I'm not paying for like 8 VIP packages in a day. But I was the conduit for like $3,000 worth of Weird Al tickets in like the span of 45 minutes.
That is so on brand, and I love that. Another thing I love is a Halloween birthday. What was your last birthday karaoke experience like?
I went in full Weird Al costume. Yeah, I did. I went in full Weird Al costume, and I did karaoke, and I sang nothing but Weird Al songs. And I took it like real seriously. Okay. I took it real seriously because I was very particular about the wig. So I found this like curly, like haired wig on Amazon, and I literally put it on my head and I cut it. So it looked like 1996 Weird Al. I went online. I got prescription glasses that look like Weird Al glasses. Okay. I did that. I bought a fake little accordion to have like as part of my costume, and it works. And actually I can play it a little bit. Yeah, so I went and I did karaoke. I did like a surgeon. I don't know what came over me. I was like laying on a table with like my legs up in the, and I got on the floor, and my friend's taking video of this, and I'm like, I don't know what came over me other than the fact that it was my birthday, so I didn't care what people thought of me. I was dressed as Weird Al, so I didn't care what people thought of me. And like those two things combined made me like the most powerful person in the universe for a couple of hours. I thought it was absolutely great. And sidebar to that, every year for Halloween, Weird Al does a collage that he shares on social media of people that dressed as him for Halloween and kind of posted it somewhere. I had the biggest picture in the collage. Thank you very much. So that was a crowning moment for me.
That's a crowning moment for anybody. And so, like, I understand we live in like an audio medium right now, okay, where words are important and we need to express the scope of our appreciation through words. And I don't know if I have the words to express that in this audio medium. I really don't. So here's a question for me as a casual Weird Al fan, because
I'm sorry, I have to interrupt you. You're a casual Al fan?
casual Weird Al fan.
A casual fan.
Okay, there he is. Okay. As a casual fan.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. As a casual fan, how do I know when I walk into the karaoke spot, if this is a crowd I should do Weird Al for?
That's a good question. I mean, for me, I literally went to the place dressed as Weird Al and decided I was just going to do it. And the response was great. The karaoke DJ loved it. And then a couple weeks later, I came back dressed like a normal person. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that Weird Al polka again. And he was like, you were Weird Al? I'm like, yes, I was Weird Al. Because the Weird Al time was like one of the first times I did karaoke at this place. So he had no context for me other than this woman is dressed as Weird Al, right? So I showed up dressed like a normal person. And I literally did the same thing. I did Polka Your Eyes Out from the Off the Deep End album. And I do that polka. That's a song that I'll probably do like every other week because it is so much fun. It's the polka medley of like all the early 90s stuff. So it starts with Rock the Cradle of Love. It's got like Losing My Religion in it. The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump. Do me, baby. Do the hump. It's so much fun. And people, like, I think if you're going to go to a place and try and do Weird Al, choose one of the polka medleys because it's songs that people know just done like a little differently. And so you're not like on the same thing for too long. So
I am going to make a point to do that this weekend.
That was my follow-up question. I'm not joking. I was going to ask what's the Weird Al song that's my entry to like people? What's the Weird Al song? Because I feel like my go-to, if there is such thing as a go-to Weird Al song, is Amish Paradise.
That's a good one. People know that one because that was a transitional point in Al's career as well. That song was very big for him. So a lot of people are going to know that. White and Nerdy is one that a lot of people know, but that one's incredibly difficult. I've done it. I will not do it again.
I'm going to ask a Weird Al-based question now that we're walking down this road. What is the most underappreciated Weird Al song that people should be listening to?
Oh my gosh. Well, it's going to depend on, you know, what it is that you like.
And your opinion. I don't care about anybody else's right now. We're talking to you. I want to know your opinion.
In my opinion, Mission Statement. It's a Crosby, Stills, and Nash style parody from the Mandatory Fun album. And it sounds great, but the song is all corporate jargon that makes no sense whatsoever. And it's absolutely beautiful. So if you're somebody who works in, you know, corporate America and you've heard the line, we must all efficiently operationalize our strategies. But to hear that line sung like Crosby, Stills, and Nash is a beautiful, beautiful thing.
That is a wonderful answer. And I've officially added that to something that I'm going to listen to probably as soon as we wrap up here, because I need some Weird Al in my life. Right,
you
Ed?
Do.
Lauren's inspiring. Yes, absolutely. I'm going to listen to all the polka medleys and try to find out what one they have available at karaoke here so I can do one this weekend.
I love that. I love that so much.
And I'll film it for you.
Thank you.
We're going to share all the polka medleys. I'm ready to go do karaoke and do some Weird Al. Fuck yeah, let's go. Like, I'm ready to go.
It's so funny. I got in the car the other day and something popped into my head. I was like, get in, losers. We're doing some Weird Al shit, you know?
Nothing. I've never wanted anything more in my life than right in this moment to say that to another human being. So thank you for that. Just that very particular thing. I'm very excited. Okay, so let's do some The Greatest Song Ever Sung. Poorly shit. And let's play some Hit Me With Your Best Shot. So, Lauren, you said you've listened to our show before. You know kind of the gist of it. But what we're going to do is we're going to ask you 5 air quotes, rapid fire questions. And just give us the first thing that pops into your head. You don't need to quantify anything. The answers are your own. And we're just really excited to hear what you have to say about these topics. After that, since it's only fair, you have a chance to fire away. And you can ask us any question that pops into your head. And Ed and I solemnly swear that we will answer honestly. And it can be about karaoke or it can be about just general life stuff. And we're happy to give you our honest opinions about it.
Cool.
That being said, are you ready to play Hit Me With Your Best Shot?
Yes, fire away.
Great. What is the best thing you have seen at karaoke?
The best thing I have seen at karaoke is a 6'5" tall man in full Prince costume singing Purple Rain.
I would have paid to be in there that night.
It was good.
Conversely, what is the worst thing you have seen at karaoke?
The worst thing that I have seen at karaoke, I try not to be like all like this, but the worst thing that I have seen at karaoke is, honestly, sometimes it's just when the words like don't show up on the screen for the people, like technical errors, and you get somebody who's up there like really wanting to do their thing and like technology just fails them. And then you feel really bad.
That is, no, that's legitimately the worst. I empathize with that on a very deep level. So what is the one song you would love to do at karaoke that you've never been able to find?
Oh, okay. So outside of Weird Al, I love singing Stevie Nicks. And oh my gosh, like that's, Gypsy is my go-to karaoke song. If I go to a new place, I'm doing Gypsy because I know I can nail it. And so I'm like, okay, everything's going to go just fine. So there's a lot of Stevie Nicks that I would love to do that they just don't have. There's a great track off of the Mirage album, which is the same album that Gypsy is on. It's called Straight Back. It's a real spooky Stevie Nicks song. And I sing along with, you know, in the car with that all the time, but nobody at karaoke has it because it's just an album track.
Okay, Lauren, you are a special guest with a very unique set of skills. So we're going to alter our next question for you. Kidnappers have captured your family. And the only way to get them to release them is to nail a Weird Al song at karaoke. Which song do you choose to set your loved ones free?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it would probably have to be the aforementioned Polka Your Eyes Out, because I do that one very frequently. It's never gone over poorly, even at places where you don't think that people would appreciate a Weird Al polka being sung.
What's your second choice?
My second choice would have to be Dare to Be Stupid. I've only done that once, but I know I could nail it because, you know, you get that part where he's in the video, he spins his head and he goes, yes. And I hit that like right on time and I spun around and I did it because I just went, yes. And I was like, oh, this is it. This is the stuff right here.
That is the end of Sweet Transvestite and Me.
It's little touches like that that really make a big difference when you're doing a karaoke performance. So we deeply appreciate that. So my favorite question to ask is, if you could magically strike one karaoke song from every playlist everywhere forever so that it could never be performed again at karaoke, what song would it be?
Turn the Page by Bob Seger.
Done. That was so fast. Why? Okay. Follow-up question, why was that so fast?
Because the song is too damn long, and it goes, like, nowhere, and, you know, it's like, ah.
Lauren, did you just mouth trumpet us?
I did.
That was fantastic.
I love
Thanks.
It. I love it so much. Lauren, that was one of the best rounds I think we've ever experienced here with the Hit Me With Your Best Shot, and, God, great answers. Quick answers, mouth trumpets and all. Like, it was just like, it had everything, a little bit of everything. And I think everybody's really going to appreciate that. So it's only fair that you have a chance to fire away. So go ahead, ask Ed and I any question. We'll happily answer for you.
Okay. As a dog person, I'm wondering, what dog breed do you think would be the best at karaoke if dogs could sing karaoke?
Oh, I got this. It's going to be a husky. Because I have heard huskies just vocalize for no goddamn reason. And a husky is the only breed I think could do like a full Christina Aguilera run on a song. Because my friend Roberto, a shout out to Kettle Dad Barbecue, his dog Thor, if you tell him no, he sings louder and stronger and more fiercely than I ever have at karaoke, which is saying something. Thor can wail, and I would love to see Thor wail on a mic, possibly doing a Meatloaf song. I think that would work, actually. Thor seems like the kind of guy who would sing Meatloaf.
I would argue that I think Labs could just bring nothing but energy to a karaoke stage. Like, it would be nothing. It's the kind of excitement you want. They wouldn't necessarily be good at what they're throwing out there. They wouldn't necessarily, like, sing well or really be comprehensible with what they're putting on stage. But, man, you'd just be so excited to see them, so excited to be on stage, that I think everybody would find just tremendous joy in watching a lab run around on stage, vocalizing however they want to vocalize, which are some of my favorite karaoke performances for humans, are when they may not be saying words, they may not be singing actual notes, but man, if they're excited on stage, I'm excited and I love that so much.
Hey, Lauren, one final question, since you are a beer podcaster as well as a Weird Al podcaster.
Yes.
What are you drinking out of our pint glass?
Oh, right now I have a Hialeah IPA from Sakara City Brewing in Tampa. It's a good solid IPA. I will tell you, if you do ever have the opportunity, they do occasionally variations of the Hialeah IPA where it's aged in different types of barrels. The white oak barrel-aged Hialeah is one of the best things that you'll ever have.
Lauren, we need to be just friends in real life, I feel like. Like, I feel like we need to, like, go beyond the podcast space and be friends in real life, because Weird Al and beer, two things that I love dearly. But I just want to say, God, this has been great. Hasn't this been great?
I have been looking forward to this for weeks, and I am glad that we made it happen.
Me too. Yeah, this is wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
It's been wonderful. And what we like to do is now at this point in the show is we're going to hand, this is now your show. Talk about whatever you want to talk about. Plug whatever you want to plug. The floor is yours. We're going to shut up. We're going to go away. And
well, don't go away.
It's all you. Well, I mean, we're going to be here.
Be here for me while I have the floor.
But tell the people about how they can find you, how they can support your endeavors.
Yes, my endeavors. Yes. Yeah. So as we mentioned before, I'm one of the hosts of the Beard Al podcast, the podcast where my brother and I talk about our two favorite things in the world, beer and Weird Al. And you can find us at beardalpodcast.com. And if that's too difficult for you, we're also a member of the Odd Pods Media Network. So you can just go to oddpodsmedia.com and find a link to our show right there, as well as the other fabulous shows on our network. We are on Twitter at Beard Al Podcast, Instagram at Beard Al Podcast, and Facebook also at Beard Al Podcast. And we're on all of the podcast things where you might listen to podcasts. So if there's a player out there playing podcasts, odds are we're on it.
There's so many places that play podcasts. Like, even as like somebody that's in the space, I'm always amazed by how many places have podcasts at this point. Like, should follow. Everybody should follow. Just follow. Just
thanks.
Do it.
Just follow. I try and have a good time. You know, if nothing else, follow my Twitter for my hashtag Weird Al every day, because I do post a different. Well, I mean, you know, I've got my 50 Weird Al shirts and I wear one, you know, for a portion of the day, every single day. And I post a picture hoping for some attention. It is love.
That is love right there. We love that too.
We do. We hope to, we 100,000,000,000% hope to see you singing at a screen sometime soon.
There was no way that we could let Lauren get away from this episode without singing a Weird Al song. So here she is doing Polka Your Eyes Out.
Here we go.
You're unbelievable.
I feel like in past weeks, I've been too nonchalant about plugging our social media and our email and our website and our thanks for listening. I tell too many silly stories. I get into too many characters. And I'm sorry, Ed. I'm sorry for distracting from what I should be talking about during this time. Normally, I want to talk about anything else other than plugging our website, sungpoorly.com. Telling our listeners to go to sungpoorly@gmail.com and send us an email with a question. Checking out the new pod box that's on our website at sungpoorly.com.
Pod inbox.
Our pod inbox, like the mysterious voice said that you just heard. Following us on Facebook and Twitter. Like, I feel like I haven't talked about these things. I'm always talking about something else, and I don't give them the due attention that they deserve. So I promise from this point on that I'm going to take it much, much, much more seriously and really, really, really sincerely thank all the listeners for listening.
One thing I've never been remiss in forgetting is thanking Ben Dumb, our dear friend who has given us our theme song, Gasoline. Ben, I hope you're listening to this before I see you again. But I do have a surprise for you the next time I drag you to karaoke, which is coming soon. But check out the Ben Dumb 3 on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find music. Or his previous gigs, Ben Dumb and the Deviants, the Marauders. The man's just hella talented.
Hella talented is an appropriate way to describe Ben Dumb. You will get no argument from this side of the podcast, Ed. Make sure to tune in 2 weeks from now when we talk about having pride at karaoke and finding your voice again, but in an entirely new and heartwarming way. Next month is June, so it's Pride Month, y'all. That's it. That's all. There is no more. So until next time, I'm Adam Wainwright.
I'm Ed Kennard.
And remember that singing off key is still technically singing. Doesn't test anybody knowledge. And do you agree with that, or you do like the way it being structured that way?
Pause. Can you say anybody's knowledge?
Anybody's knowledge.
Now ask your question again.
I can't remember what it was.